This is William Hill Racing Radio.
The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. It's Thursday, November the 24th, and I'm Andy Holding, taking a look at a 7-race card at Thurles this afternoon, set to be run on yielding ground. The two feature races come up at 1 o'clock and 1:30 respectively, with the listed chase being the highlight over 2.6 miles, which brings together the likes of Champagne Fever, Wounded Warrior and Roy de Franck. But we'll get onto that in due course. But first we begin with a beginner's chase over 2.2 miles, which comes up at 12:30. And the standout performer here, who's already had the benefit of a previous run over fences, is Gordon Elliott's General Principle from the all-conquering Giggenstown Stud operation. A useful hurdler, he managed to finish a respectable 6 in a Grade 2 on his final run over the smaller obstacles at Ferry House towards the back end of March. He hasn't been seen out since, until running a huge race on debut over fences behind two Giggenstown representatives in the shape of Road to Respect and Prince of Scars. Now that form obviously is the best coming into this particular race, and I do like the way he shaped on that occasion. He certainly wasn't unduly punished, knocked about to finish just behind the coattails of some very useful horses. The time of the race is good, and I did like the way he jumped. I think he's going to want further in time, but this looks a good opportunity for him to get off the mark today. 2.2 miles around this track should be absolutely ideal. With the Gordon Elliott team still in good form, I rate General Principle as one of the best bets on the card in the opening race.
Race 2.
On to race number 2 then, and this is a fascinating looking affair between three or four very, very useful horses. Some, of course, of former years, and others a little bit more of the here and now. Champagne Fever would certainly be the pick of these at his very, very best, but he's been off the track for the thick end of the year and a half, so your guess is as good as mine how he's going to be following that enforced layoff. He does go well fresh, however, so that's a chink of light at the end of the tunnel for the supporters of him. And we know when he's on song, going right-handed around about 2.5 miles in races of this nature and over in Ireland, he's virtually unbeatable, so he certainly deserves to be a worthy market leader. I wouldn't be so sure about Wounded Warrior's claims here, even though he's second favourite. I'm not particularly convinced with this horse. He's got a poor record going right-handed. He was flattered to finish second in the Kinloch Bray over this course last year, when the third and fourth made bad mistakes at the second lasso. He rather inherited second. He was disappointing in the Grade 1 at Leopardstown in his final run, getting beat 20-odd lengths. So the jury's very much out on him. If there is going to be a danger towards Champagne Fever's chance, it's got to be surely Roy de Franck. I'm not particularly a massive fan of Lord Windermere nowadays. Of course, Gordon Elliott's Charles has got some decent form in some good novice chases last season. Of course, he was the winner of the Grade 2 in Nice in January, standing very strongly to beat Stabber Companion Port Alexandra. Of course, sub-lieutenant this year has franked that form in no uncertain terms. To be fair, he probably found the ground a little bit too lively for him at Cheltenham and Aintree respectively, albeit he ran with a good deal of credit on both occasions. And even though he's not particularly well served by the conditions of this race, if Gordon Elliott has got him somewhere near his best, he certainly is a massive price at 5-1. Probably the way I'd play this race, actually, is to bet without Champagne Fever, because I do think Wounded Warrior is vulnerable. So Roy de Franck is probably the pick there without Champagne Fever in race 2.
Race number 3.
On to race number 3 then. This is a novice's hurdle over 2.7 miles, and Donnacos is going to attract quite a bit of interest in this race, particularly as the stable took this race with a similar type last year in the shape of Roman Gold. Now, he's certainly going to have to improve a little bit on his latest performance. Yes, he was pretty impressive in many respects to beat Robina, but Robina, to be fair, is only a 90-rated summer jumping horse, so just looking at the actual form line strand in isolation, it doesn't read that pretty reading. But I do think this horse has probably got the most scope of these horses in this race, and the fact that he's already proven over the trip has got to count for quite a bit in a race of this nature. We're not sure whether the likes of Bobberly or, for that matter, Jack the Wire, who'd been in good form throughout the summer jumping period, will stay the trip, particularly Bob Ali, who goes from 2 miles last time out at Wexford to a massive jump up to 2 miles 7. So, that, like I said, there's an element of doubt there. And Burndown, to be fair to him, he looks a nice progressive type, but he was all out and workmanlike more than impressive last time out at Wexford when he scrambled home in a 2 mile 4 main hurdle. So none of these are absolute any massive superstars. So it's all about which one's got the most scope for the future and which one stays the best. And as far as I'm concerned, at this very moment in time, that is definitely Donnacost. So he's the choice in race three.
Race four.
On to race number four then at 2 o'clock, which is a 2 mile 7 mares hurdle. And this should, all intents and purposes, be a bit of a penalty kick here for Augusta Kate. First time out over the smaller obstacles. A very, very smart bumper horse she was last year. She ran respectably when finishing seventh against the boys in the champion bumper at the Cheltenham Festival. Just got touched off by Cave Grace at Aintree when she was in the grade two on that occasion. But she did round up her season with a comfortable victory in the listed mares bumper at Punchestown, and that form has already been advertised by Forge Meadow from the Jessica Harrington stable, winning at Wexford the other day over hurdles. The fact that Rabina's second favourite here is very much a long-standing maiden who's only rated in the 90s suggests that this race isn't that much good with regard to strength and depth. So if you're looking for a forecast alternative, it's got to be Black Frank's Angel from the inform Henry de Bromhead stable. I do like this horse's pedigree, being by Black Sand Bellamy. And this horse has already had a decent run under its belt as well this season when chasing home the very useful Call It Magic over fences at Wexford the last day. Back over hurdles today, at least with proven form over the smaller obstacles and the ability to stay, I'd suggest Black Frank's Angel is the wise choice without the jolly in race four.
Race five.
On to race number five then, the 2:35, and I'm going to put up Canny Tom here as the tentative vote. Tentative in the sense that this horse has had 14 tries so far over hurdles and has yet to get its head in front. I don't think the horse has got any iffiness as regards his nature. Just think he keeps bumping into one like he did about Dan Patrick a couple of starts ago. He certainly had every chance the other day at Fairy House, but once again he just found too good for him. Actually, a bad mistake at the last didn't help matters in the final rundown of that particular race. But he's got Keith Donoghue on board here today, who knows him really well. And it's such a bad race, and it's difficult to get massively enthusiastic about too many others. A little bit unsure whether the ground will suit Game Puppeteer, albeit he did win over the course and distance here the last day. All his best form seems to be on good ground, so that might just find him out in the latter stage of the race. So a difficult race to get massively excited about. Canny Tom, round about 2-1, 9-4 this morning, would be the very, very small choice there in race five.
Race number six.
On to the penultimate contest then, which comes up at 3:10. And I'm going to go with Neddy Vaughan each way here. Although he's yet to win a race, he's certainly been knocking at the door. And his two runner-up performances at Clonmel behind subsequent winner Cloudy Morning and Theo at Fairy House read well in the context of this race. He rather hit the front a little bit too soon the last time out when Ricky Dore got him to the front, jumping three out at Fairy House the other day. And as he turned into the home straight, looking like the most likely winner, his Petrograde flashed an empty on the soft ground on that particular occasion. I think it's a wise move, therefore, for connections to drop him back to 2 miles, where his decent cruising speed will definitely come into play. And hopefully Mark Walsh, who deputises for Ricky Dore on this occasion, can get the script right and make sure this horse challenges in the latter stages rather than too soon. So Neddy Vaughan, a very strong each-way selection, around about the 6-1 mark this morning in the penultimate contest.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, which is quite an intriguing bumper. Three horses to concentrate on here. Obviously, costing €160,000, Admiral Chief in the Mouse Morris stable representing Gingenstown Stud has got to be of some interest here. But I'd certainly readily pass any horse over first time out from that stable around about the even money mark in a bumper. Obviously, Sharp Choice has got to come under the scrutiny as well from the Mulick Mullins yard. But the one to be on here, surely, 4-1 top price this morning is this Woods Well. Now, I'd almost make him favourite, certainly on the basis of his two runs so far today. He was a promising second and a decent point-to-point back in November 2015. And he made his Rolls debut at Nice last year in a very good bumper won by Articulum. Now, he just got a little bit tired in the latter stages on that occasion, and he subsequently suffered a little bit of an injury which has kept him off the track. But reading Gordon Elliott's comments in his trainer file a few weeks back, he really does like this horse, and he says he's got a massive amount of ability. So hopefully if that quality can be harnessed in the right direction, I do think he's got to make an impact in bumpers and over hurdles in the next year or two. And at 4-1 this morning, that's almost like a giveaway each way. So Woods, well, very confident vote that he'll win a massive race in the final contest. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Please join me again tomorrow when I'm going to be covering the evening card at Dundalk. It's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.